Tonight, we're presenting The Atheist, the second of two linked comedies by Thomas Otway, which have been adapted for radio by Peter Barnes, with music specially composed by Christopher Whelan. With Dennis Quilly as Captain Bogard, a soldier of fortune who's sworn never to marry. John Rowe as Captain Corteen, who is married, but who's determined to rid himself of his loathsome wife by bedding anyone he can. Sarah Bedell as Sylvia, his despised wife, who seeks revenge by pursuing a liaison with someone she takes as a personable young man newly come to town. Anna Massey as Portia, a widow who loves Bogard, but who disguises herself as a mysterious enchantress to test his fidelity. Diana Bishop as Lucretia, who also loves Bogard, but who disguises herself as a man when she is rejected. Peter Jones as Daredevil, a fashionable atheist and coward, and Geoffrey Matthews as Bogard's penniless father, who unfortunately has an obsessive passion for gambling and alcohol. The Atheist, Captain Bogard's London House, 1680.
I say and say again, Father, no matrimony. I'll not be noosed. What have I done that I deserve to be married?
Why, Saucebox, I, your old father, was married before you were born.
Aye, sir, and the next thing you did was you begot me. Then as soon as I was born, you sent me to nurse, where I sucked 2 years at the dirty breasts of a foul-feeding witch. As soon as I was big enough to get rid of me, you sent me to a place called a school.
Yes.
To be slashed and boxed by a thick-fisted blockhead who could not read himself, where I learned no letters nor got no meat, but such as his wife bought at a stinking price. So overrun with vermin that it used to crawl home after.
Well, sir, it was the more nourishing. I made such young idle horsens as you, fat, puffed and bacon-faced, like a cherubim. And now you won't marry.
My next removal was home again. And then you did not know what to do with me, till after a 12-month's deliberation, out of abundance of fatherly affection, you very civilly turned me out of your doors.
Unruly varlet, you rebelled and took up arms against my concubine. Turned you out of me doors?
Yes, sir, turned me out of doors.
Had I not reason, Master Hector?
Turned out of doors, as I was, you may remember, sir, you gave me not a shilling. My industry and my virtue was all I had to trust to.
Nay, but you won't marry. You have got £2,000 a year, left you by old curmudgeonly mouldy uncle, and I can't persuade you to marry.
Sir, that curmudgeonly mouldy uncle you speak of was your elder brother, and never married in all his life. He, dying, bequeathed me £2,000 a year. You, sir, the youngest brother and my honoured father, have been married, and are not able to leave me a bent ninepence.
Yes.
So, sir, I wish you a great deal of health, long life, and merry as it has been hitherto, so I am resolved to have nothing to do with marriage.
Oh! Hey, look me in the face! Stand still, look me in the face! So you won't marry?
No, sir.
No, oh, Lord!
But I'll do something...
Yes.
...that shall be more for your good and perhaps may please you as well.
Yes, yes.
Knowing fortune of late has not been altogether so good-natured as she might have been, and that your revenues are something low...
Why?
...be pleased, sir, to go home, and my servant, Forbin, shall not fail to meet you at your lodgings with 100 smiling guineas within this half hour.
Oh,
now, who the devil would marry, eh?
Nobody that has half an ounce of brains in his noddle.
So here's a father for you now.
Yeah, but look here, Jack. Marriage, speak the truth, aunt. It is at the best but an uneasy sort of life.
Oh.
It ruined me, Jack. Utterly ruined the poor old father, Jack. They won't be sure to remember the £100, Jackie boy.
Most punctually, sir.
Yeah. Thou shalt always, every now and then, that is, lend thy old father £100 or so, Jack, in a friendly way. You must make much of your old daddy, Jack. I would never have thee marry.
Not marry, sir?
No.
No?
No. £100, Jack, is a pretty little round sum.
I'll not fail of sending it.
Oh, yes. And thou wilt never marry?
Never, sir.
Oh, you wicked-hearted rogue. Well, I were a young fellow again, but to keep your company. 100 guineas. Oh, Goodbye, Jack. You remember. See thee again tomorrow, Jack. Poor Jack. Dainty canary and a delicate black-eyed wench at the bar. Goodbye, Jack.
Adieu, Father. Forbin.
Did your honour call, sir?
Take 100 guineas out of the cabinet and carry them after the old gentleman to Harry the Eight's Head Tavern.
Yes, sir.
This father of mine, heaven be thanked, is a very ungodly father. He was in his youth just such another wicked fellow as I am. But he had no estate. There I have the better of him. For out of good opinion of me, my uncle thought fit to disinherit the extravagant old gentleman and leave all to me. Now, he has no way to squeeze money out of me but by exercising his fatherly authority and offering to put the penal law called marriage into execution.
Oh.
I must send him into the country with a pension.
Yes, sir.
Wedlock, I deny thee. Father, I'll supply thee. And pleasure, I will have thee.
Aye, sir.
Go.
Oh, sir, there's news. Your old comrade is just arrived out of the country and desires to see you, sir.
Hmm?
Captain Courteen.
Courteen!
Yes, sir.
To your tasks, Forbin.
Yes, sir. And Captain...
Ah, friend, I was just now wishing for thee.
Dear Bogard.
Why, thou look'st as like a married man already, with as grave a fatherly family countenance as ever I saw.
Aye, Bogard, I am married.
Mm-hmm.
Sylvia is my wife! My wife! Sylvia!
Huh?
But you, I hear, have had good luck of late. An old uncle dropped into the grave and £2,000 a year into your pocket?
A small conveniency, Ned, to make my happiness hereafter a little more of a piece.
I've been away a year. What news? Where's Sir Jolly Jumble? Whose leg or bosom is he tickling?
Oh, Abraham, he died 6 months past.
Died?
Oh, he was fittingly found under a young chambermaid's bed. How the whores and young blades wept at his burial. He would have been proud.
Good night, good night.
Mm.
And Lady Dunce?
Gone into the country. I know not where. Her husband, Sir Davy, was plaguey sick. I could see she was hot on marrying again, and I had no mind for it.
But I am married, Jack, in the devil's name. I am married.
Alas, poor husband. But art thou really in this miserable condition?
10 times worse. By the virtue of matrimony and long cohabitation, we are grown so really one flesh that I have no more inclination to hers than to eat a piece of my own. Then her ladyship Sylvia is so jealous, lady jealous. In short, Jack, ere I resolved absolutely to hang myself, I thought there might be some remedy left. And that was this dear town and thy dear friendship.
Ned.
In short, I am very fairly run away, pretended a short journey to visit a friend, but came to London. And, if it be possible, will not see country wife nor children again these 7 years. Therefore, prithee tell me a little what sins are stirring in this noble metropolis.
Aye, faith, Ned, considering the times, iniquity in general has not lost much ground. There is cheating and hypocrisy still in the city, riot and murder in the suburbs, grinning, lying, fawning and flattery at court, assignations at Covent Garden Church, cuckolds, whores, pimps, panders, bawds and their diseases all over the town.
But what of that new sect of men I've heard of called the atheists?
Ah, I have one. For thee of that kind,
uh-huh.
The most inimitable varlet and the most insufferable stinkard living. One that has doubts enough to turn to all religions and yet would fain pretend to be of none. In short, a cheat that would have you of opinion that he believes neither in heaven nor hell, yet is afraid of being damned.
That must be a very noble champion and certainly an original.
Shall I recommend him to thy service?
I'll
enter into bonds of £500 that he teaches thee as good a way to get rid of that whippened belle, thy wife Sylvia, as thy heart would wish for.
That's no small temptation, I assure you.
Sir, a letter for you.
My child.
The boy must be a pimp, he speaks so gently to him.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Tell her she has undone me. She has chosen the only way to enslave me utterly. Tell her my soul, my life, my future happiness, my present fortune are only what she'll make them.
At 7, sir?
Most infallibly.
Now what a damned country itch have I to dive into the secret. Bogard! Bogard!
Hmm?
Are all things in readiness? Is the husband out of the way? Come, no trifling. Be free-hearted and friendly.
You are married, Ned. You are married. That is all I have to say. You are married.
Let a man do a foolish thing once in his lifetime, and he shall always hear of it. I was married about 12 months ago, but that is past and forgotten. Come. Communicate. If thou art a friend, communicate.
Not a tittle.
But
I have a conscience, Ned, a conscience. What a scandal would it be upon a man of my sober demeanor and character to have the unmerciful tongue of thy legitimate spouse roaring against me for debauching her husband.
It has been otherwise, sir.
Aye, the time has been, Courteen, when thou wert in possession of thy freedom and mightest be trusted with a secret of this nature.
No more to be said.
I'll enter the country again like any discontented statesman, get drunk every night, beat my wife, and get all my maidservants every year with bastards.
Good words, Ned, good words. Come hither, come. Now, will you promise to be very governable and very civil?
As any spaniel.
Then, this note, this very letter, Ned, comes from a woman who, when I was strolling very pensively last Sunday to church, watched her opportunity and approached me for the service of Satan.
Oh, is she very handsome, Bogart?
Well, let me see. No, not very handsome neither, but she'll pass, Ned, she'll pass.
Young?
About 18.
Oh, look!
Her complexion fair, with a glowing blush always ready in her cheeks.
Oh, the
eyes black, sparkling, spriteful, hot, and piercing.
Oh, the very description of her shoots me through my liver.
Her hair of a delicate light amber brown, curling in huge rings.
So?
Her forehead large, majestic, and generous.
Very well.
Her nose neat and well-fashioned, with a delicious little pretty smiling mouth, plump red lips, teeth whiter than so many little pearls, a bewitching neck, and tempting rising, swelling breast. Then such a proportion, such a shape, such a waist.
Oh, go no lower if you love me.
Oh, by your leave, friend, I hope to go much lower if she loves me.
But thou art certain, Bogart, she is all this thou hast told me, so fair, so tempting, so lovely, so bewitching.
No, for I never saw her face in my life.
What?
But I love my own pleasure so well that I'll imagine all this and 10 times more, if it be possible.
Where lives she?
That I know not either. But my orders are to meet her fairly and squarely this evening by 7 at a certain person's at the New Exchange, where, as she writes, she promises to be very good-natured and let me know more of her mind.
And I'll go home to my lodgings like a miserable blockhead and sleep.
Ah, no, Ned. My good chances have always been lucky to thee. Who can tell but this lady errant that has seized upon my person may have a friend?
It's impossible.
Not at all. Such a one cannot want good, pretty little under sinners, Ned, that a man may fool away an hour or two with.
Why, then, I'll be a man again. Wife, avaunt! Impotence attends the very thoughts of me! At 7, you say, this evening.
Precisely.
I shall go along with thee then.
Methinks we're both upon the wing together, bound for new realms of joy and lands of pleasure, where men were never yet enslaved by wiving, but all their cares are handsomely contriving,
to improve the noble art of perfect living.
Perfect living. Perfect living.
A goodly tavern meal, Jack. But was truly thy father in the next room?
Yes, that civil, sober old gentleman, Courtine, was my father, and to tell the truth, as wicked and as poor as ever his son was. I sent him 100 guineas this morning, which he will be sure to lose before tomorrow morning and not have a shilling to help himself.
Methought as I looked into the room, he rattled the dice with a great deal of grace and swore very youthfully.
Prithee no more, and 'tis an irreverent thief.
But then, as to the lady, Bogart.
'Tis the hour appointed, and this is the shop we must meet at. The lights on each hand are dim. Let us enter.
Gloves or ribbons, sir? Oh, very good. Gloves or ribbons. Choice of fine essences, Captain Bogart. Shall I sell you nothing today?
Truly, Mistress Furnish, I am come to lay out a heart at your shop this evening, if my pretty merchant adventurer don't fail to meet me here.
Oh, what, she that spoiled your devotion on Sunday last, Captain?
Dost thou know her, my little Furnish?
Oh, well, there is a certain lady, sir, that has done me the honour to let me see her at my poor shop sometimes. I'll swear she's obliged to you.
Will she be here tonight?
Yes, Captain, she will.
You see, she stands waiting there behind you.
She's masked.
What? Attack a man of war of my burden in the stern, you pirate?
Lord, how like a soldier you are pleased to express yourself now. I warrant you, to carry on the metaphor, you have 40 more merry things to say to me upon this occasion.
Hmm?
As plying your gun, laying yourself athwart my hawser, boarding me upon the forecastle, clapping all under hatches, carrying off the prize, and rummaging and rifling her. Alas, poor captain.
Poor madam. He has 2,000 a year and nothing but an old father to provide for.
Sir, is this fine, sober, brown-bearded gentleman to be your steward? He understands your affairs so well already.
The truth on it is, madam, he does wait for an office under me. Well, madam, are your commands ready? May I know the task I am to undertake before I lay claim to the happiness of seeing that handsome, homely, young, ancient, tempting, or frightful face which you conceal so maliciously?
In the first place, Captain, this face of mine, if you behave yourself, shall never put you out of countenance. For I am young, Captain.
I'm glad, Aunt, with all my heart.
And if the world speaks truth, not very ugly.
So much the better still.
Next, my name is Portia, and I'm no hypocrite.
Ah.
But love my pleasures and will hold my liberty.
Noble.
I am rich, too.
Better and better.
But what's worst of all?
Ugly it.
I'm sillily in love.
With whom, dear miracle?
Not with a married man, sweet Monsieur Courtine.
Confound her, but she knows me. Why, good madam...
Nay, friend, keep your distance.
Have you then made your escape, sir, from your dear wife, the Lady Tyrant of your enchanted castle in the country, to run a wandering after new adventures here? London, beware.
Oh, Lord!
Do you know this friend of mine, then, madam?
I have heard of Sir Tiro that was very famous about a year since for selling himself to an estate in the country for £5,000. Was not that the price, sir?
Your ladyship is pleased to be very free.
So were you at that time, sir, or you had never parted with your dear liberty on such reasonable terms. Oh, bless us. Had you but looked about you a little, what a market might have been made of that tall, proper, promising person of yours, that...
Hell, confound it!
That face... which now, overgrown with rueful beard, looks as you had stole it from a retinue of the Russian embassy. I fancy all fellows that are married smell of garlic.
And yet 20-1, that is the stinking condition you'll seduce some poor doting monster or another into one day.
Never, by that badge of slavery, his beard there.
How that dear protestation against marriage has charmed me.
On my conscience, I myself could be half reconciled to her again, too.
In short, to give you one infallible argument that I never will marry... I have been married already.
Oh.
For being the daughter of a very rich merchant who, dying, left me the only heiress of an immense fortune, it was my ill luck to fall into the hands of guardians that, to speak properly, were rascals. For in a short time they conspired amongst themselves and for base bribes betrayed, sold, and married me to a husband.
Where is this husband?
Heaven be thanked, dead and buried, Captain.
Amen with all my heart.
A widow, by my manhood, a downright bawdy widow.
And what's to be done, thou dear one?
Look upon me as a lady in distress, Captain, and by the honor of a soldier consider my deliverance.
From what? Where is the danger?
From my husband's brother, Theodoret, and his friend Gratian, who wants me for his own.
Hell confound them for it.
Aye, Theodoret has secured and confined me with more tyranny than if I had been a prisoner for murder. Guards me day and night with ill-looked rogues that wear long, broad, terrible swords and stand sentinel up and down the house with musketoons and blunderbusses.
So, here's likely to be some violence. That's some comfort.
Murder and marriage are the two dreadful things I seem to be threatened with.
No, I'll fairly be gibbeted first.
No need of that, Captain, neither. For to show you I deserve your protection, I have had the courage to break jail, run away, and make my escape hither purely to keep my word with you.
Oh.
Deal like a man of honor by me, and when the storm that will follow is a little blown over, here's a white hand upon't. I'll not be ungrateful.
And in token I believe thee, I'll kiss it most religiously.
Why the devil did I marry? Madam, one word with you. Have you a married lady of your acquaintance that's as good-natured as you and would like to feign be a widow as you are?
Why do you ask?
Because I would cut her husband's throat and make her one for my own proper use.
I'll ask your own lady, sir, that question next time I see her, if you please.
What? Dost thou know her, then?
Yes.
Oh! Then I may chance shortly to have a fine time, aunt.
Mm-hmm. Those two men entering the shop, tis Theodoret and Gratian. Let's turn away. Pretend we have not seen them.
Look, Theodoret.
Oh, by heaven, Gratian. Tis Portia.
By heaven, I swear it is. And the men with her are well armed.
No matter. We must carry her or all's lost else.
I'll not shrink from you.
That's well said.
Sir, if you please, a word with you.
With me, sir!
Yes!
Courtine, be civil a little.
Sir, It is my misfortune to be concerned for the honor of a lady that has not been altogether so careful of herself as she ought to have been.
I am sorry for it, sir.
That lady, sir, you have been talking with.
My mistress, sir.
Mistress?
Yes, mistress, sir. I love her, dote on her, am damnably in love with her. She is under my protection, too. And whenever there's occasion, as far as this sinful body of mine will bear me out in it, I'll defend her.
Do you know her?
Not as well as I would do, sir. Oh.
What's her name?
A secret.
She must along with me, sir.
No, that must not be, sir.
This lady, sir.
You lie, sir.
Oh, God.
Run, madam.
Stand fast, Ned. And
I
can't
have him. I'm solemn.
And I. Lower your swords or we'll run you through and through.
Sir, there may come a time
when you'll learn manners.
You shall not be forgotten.
Run your course.
Confound them. They fought strongly.
Ah, 'tis a hard case that a man can't hold civil correspondence with a good-natured female, but presently some hot-headed fellow of the family runs horn-mad with jealousy and fancies his blood smarts as often as the woman's itches.
Aye, but what has become of the widow, Ned?
She ran for it.
Pox on't! But since we have lost this quarry, let us even beat about a little and see what other game we can meet with.
I've entered quietly. No faintness now, Lucrezia. You must hazard all. That's the way to win a man like Bogard. I love him, and I'll play my game, be as subtle and devious as any politician. Go masked or naked, it's no matter. I love him, and must have him. Oh, sir! Sir! Captain, a word!
Bogard! Another woman, and she's masked, too.
With me, my mistress?
Yes, with you, my master.
I wonder when it'll come to my turn.
Being a particular friend of yours, Captain, I am come to tell you that your love intrigues are not secret, but that they will shortly be the subject of all the satire and contempt in town. You're holding conversation with a draggle-tailed mask in the church cloisters on Sunday. You're meeting with the very scandal here.
Really, my little wolf in sheep's fleece? This sounds like very good advice. But what use must I make of it, child?
Methinks, Captain, that should not be so hard to find out. My setting upon you in a mask myself and railing at the last woman that did so before me might easily inform you. I am in love with you, Bogard. Oh.
Then, my little mischief, you shouldn't enter the lists upon unequal terms with that black armour upon your face.
Good Captain, what's that sober gentleman's name?
His name, my pretty one, is Courtine.
Courtine! Bless us forever! What, the man that's married?
the man that's married! Though I be weary on't, I'm not ashamed of my condition. Why the devil didst thou tell her my name? I shall never thrive with any woman that knows me. The man that's married! Zounds, I'm as scandalous as the man that's to be hanged.
But you'll never be thought so handsome. To make few words with you, Bogard, I am one that mean you fairer play than such an inconstant, fickle, false-hearted wanderer as you deserve.
And why dost thou conceal thyself? Those whose designs are fair and noble scorn to hide their faces. Lady, if thou thinkest to make use of me only to create some jealousy in another woman, I am no instrument to be that way managed.
But...
No, I am constant, aye. But if thou lovest me...
Know then, sir, it has been my misfortune to watch you, haunt you, and dog you, being to my eternal torment jealous of that ravenous kite, your widow, Captain. I'll defeat all her ambushes, all the false baits she lays to ensnare your heart, till I obtain the victory of it myself, much more my due, in that I am not beneath her in beauty, birth, or fortune, or indeed anything but her years, Captain. Therefore, if you have that merit the world reports of you, make the best use of this present advice. And so farewell, till you hear from me further.
Now may I do by my mistresses as the boys do by their farthings, play heads or tails with them. Here comes the very rascal I told thee of this morning, our atheist. What, daredevil, good evening to thee. Why, where hast thou been, old blasphemy, these 40 hours? I shall never be converted from Christianity if thou dost not mind thy business better.
Been? I have been where I have half lost my honest senses, man. Hmm? Would anybody that knows me believe it? Let me be buried alive if the rogues of the parish I live in have not indicated me for a papist.
The devil, a papist?
A papist, when the villains know as well as I do that I have no religion at all.
No religion, sir? Are you of no religion?
Is this an honest fellow, Bogard?
Oh, a very honest fellow. Thou mayest trust him with thy damnation.
I never go to church, sir.
But What religion are you of?
Of the religion of the inner temple, the common law religion. Mm-hmm. I believe in the law, trust in the law, enjoy what I have by the law. Mm-hmm. For if such a religious gentleman as you are get £50 into my debt, I may go to church and pray till my heart aches, but the law must make you pay me at last.
Why then, sir, between man and man, you are really of no religion.
Maybe I am, sir, maybe I am not, sir. When you come to know me better, 20-1, but you'll be better satisfied.
Does your honour think there may be a devil?
I never saw him, sir.
Have you a mind to see him?
I'd go 50 miles barefoot to see but a fiend.
What think you of your conscience?
I do not think of it at all, sir. It never troubles me.
Did you ever do a murder?
I won't tell you.
Thou art the honest fellow for it. I love a friendly rogue that can keep a secret.
Daredevil, this honest friend of mine is something troubled in spirit and wants a little of thy ghostly advice in a point of difficulty.
Well, and what is it?
In few words, he is married. Plagued, troubled, and hag-ridden by the eternally tormenting jealous fiend called a wife.
A wife? That ever any fellow that has but 2 grains of brains in his skull should give himself the trouble to complain of a wife, so long as there is arsenic in the world.
Nay, it is a scandalous shame when it is so cheap.
Would you have me poison her?
Poison her, eh? What would you do with her else if you are weary of her?
But if I should be called to a terrible account for such a thing hereafter.
Hereafter? Cross my hand with a piece of silver. That is to say, give me 3 pence. 3 pence, my dear.
Well, and what then?
Why, for that inconsiderable sum, I'll make sure no harm can come to thee in the hereafter.
Faith, and cheap enough in all conscience.
This is the honestest acquaintance I ever met, Bogart. Prithee then, Daredevil, if that be thy name. Since we've so happily met this evening, let's grow more intimate and eat and drink together.
Faith and troth with all my heart. Pox on me, boy, but I love drinking mightily. And to tell you the truth, Aunt, I am never so well satisfied in my out-of-the-way principles as when I am drunk. Very drunk. Drunkenness is a great quieter of the mind, a great soother of the spirit.
And shall we be very free, my little atheistical disbelieving dog? Wilt thou open thy heart and speak very frankly of matters that shall be nameless?
I seldom hide my talent.
When meet we then?
Before the clock strikes 9.
Where we'll have music, women, mirth,
and very much good wine.
There's not this living now. Who would play the rogue, cheat, lie, flatter, bribe, or pimp to raise an estate for a blockhead son of his own begetting, but shall waste it as scandalously as his father got it? Or who, Courtine, would marry to beget such a blockhead?
Nobody but such a blockhead as myself, Bogart. But why did we leave the company and the women so soon?
Ah, Courtine, reputation. I'm a young spark and must look to my credit, friend. The rogues that cheat all the week and go to church on Sunday will advance me no money upon my inheritance. When there may be an occasion. Besides, I have a father in town. A grave, sober, serious old gentleman.
One that will drink, rent, whore, and game, and is as full of religion as his worshipful son.
Here he is.
Oh. This is the care you please to take of my family. Oh. Sit up all night, drink, or spend your estate. Give your soul to the devil. A very fine...
This old hawk doesn't agree with my stomach.
Dear devil, stick with me now and help me, or I'm lost forever.
I have lost all my money.
I'm sorry for it, sir.
Sorry for it, sir.
If thou art very poor, old fellow, take a swinging dose of opium and sleep upon it. It's the best thing in the world for old gentlemen that have no money.
Jack!
I've lost all my money, Jack.
You've been robbed, sir.
Robbed, sir? No, Mrs. Salty Face, I've not been robbed. I've been nicked, sir. I've been a 2 deuce and lost. I'm not worth a shilling, man.
Sir, I sent you £100 yesterday morning.
Well, sir, I've had ill luck and lost it all. What, thanks?
Do you think it reasonable that I should advance you another 100 to lose at 2 deuces?
Sir, you're a rebel. I can find in my heart to cut your throat. Have you a father?
No, sir.
No, sir?
No, sir. I broke his heart long ago. No. I hate all fathers, always did.
Oh, I hark you, sir. What's that fellow's profession?
An atheist, sir. He believes neither God nor the devil.
Are you an atheist, sir?
Yes, sir, I am an atheist.
No more to be said. My son's a very likely way to be damned. That's one comfort. Impudent rogue. You keep company with the devil, denying your father a little dirty money. Coltrane.
This is very hard, sir. But if 10 guineas will do you any service.
10 guineas? Fox are like 10 guineas. Well, let me see the 10 guineas. Let me see them, a little Jackie boy. Jackie Jack. You drunk damn hard tonight, you rogue. You drunk a dog. Making 20, Jackie rogue. Blunt cheek, very high rogue. Making 20. Making 15. Jackie boy, Jackie Jack. Do face.
Upon my duty, you have stripped me, sir.
Yeah, then you hear, friend, you are atheist that is so free of your soul. Let us see if you dare venture a little of your money now. Come on, here's me dice. Now, I'll bet you £10 or two juices does not come before us.
Let him, daredevil. Wriggle him once more, and then we shall be rid of him.
Down with your money. Here, you blasphemous. That's how I love dice.
Dearly, from the bottom of my heart, sir.
I love you the better for it, then. Come along, 777. I throw.
2 juices, you've lost, sir.
Damn me, sir, it's mine, my dear.
It's my money, I want it fairly.
Yes. Son of a whore, you lie. Oh. Draw me sword and whip this damn me out.
Nay, then, sirs, no drawing swords, no quarrelling.
Oh, I'm glad onto all my heart, for though I'm not much afraid of the devil, I hate a drawn sword mortally.
Good, sir.
Stand off, dogs. Atheists, win my money. Rascal, good morrow.
Till next time 2 deuces come before 7, and then I'm sure to see or hear from you again infallibly.
Oh, but Courtin, the sun is new risen again. And I have received information this night by a certain servant, a keeper of such offices, where my poor distressed widow is being held. Come, let us embark together, and good luck attend us.
No. I have other projects on foot. Marriage has cracked my credit so that nobody that knows my condition cares to dwell with me. Therefore, I am resolved to set out for new discoveries and try how I can thrive where my name is a stranger.
What, this morning?
This very morning. Fortified with Bordeaux wine as I am, will I issue forth and let all straggling wives, widows, and virgins have a care of their cargoes.
Nobly resolved. Thou, daredevil, will not part with me. Thou art more a friend than to leave thy disciple when there is good substantial sinning afoot. Maybe we may do a murder before we part.
Let us fire a house or two, poison a constable and all in watch, ravish 6 sinned women and kill a beadle.
Shall we do all this?
Do it up, do it yourself.
Thou art the very spirit of iniquity.
Captain Bogart.
Friend?
Sir, there is a masked lady at the corner of the street near the river, desires a word with you. Instantly.
Tell her I'm her vassal and will wait on her this moment.
Sir.
Courtine, good morrow.
Gone already?
I must mind my calling, friend. Come, daredevil.
Now will I out into the middle of the street, play a blind man's buff by myself, turn 3 times round, and catch who I can.
This should be the place, and yet I see no woman.
Then let us all fall to mischief.
A prithee, a little patience.
Sir, is your name Captain Bogart?
Yes.
Then, sir, this letter is for you.
Well, stay till I read it, friend.
Sir, it requires no answer.
What jilt's trick now? Sir, to meet us with your swords in your hands this morning behind the corner house of... By my stars, a challenge from the sparks that fell upon us last night. Why, what a deal of love and honor have I upon my hands now. Daredevil, thou canst fight.
Why, is there any occasion?
Only a challenge, daredevil, that's all. Who are those ruffian-looking fellows yonder?
Never mind them. Some hungry varlets that want dinners. Let us break some windows and never think of it.
Are you Captain Bogart, sir?
Your pleasure, sirs.
Hold on there!
You'll not murder me.
Sir, no noise, no struggling. As you tend to your safety, you are our prisoners, sir.
Daredevil, dog, coward, draw thy sword and rescue me.
I'm terrified, amazed. Some judgment for my sins is fallen on me. Alas, I'm tied up too. Have mercy on my soul. Don't slay me, gentlemen.
Damnation, blindfolded. Rascals, villains, ruffians.
Get the coach ready. At the next corner.
Take them all.
Oh, daredevil, daredevil, what will become of me?
Gratian, you are my truest friend. Will you still help me?
Theodoret, I should be unjust both to myself and to the memory of thy noble brother, whose friendship was so dear to me, should my sword lie idle in thy cause. Besides, I love Portia, and I will not let a rival carry her off.
She is thy right.
My dying brother, her soon-forgotten husband, but thy remembered friend with his last breath, said, I have a friend, Gratian, the man my heart has cherished most. We from our youth were rivals for my dear Portia. Tell him, if I die, I left her to him as the dearest legacy I could bequeath.
Heaven knows it is my curse, in spite of her scorn, to love her to madness. Nor shall this man of war, this Captain Bogart, win her with nothing but his cap and feather. I wonder Bogart is not come yet.
I have heard the man is gallant. But in honesty, Gratian, I'd have thee dwell no more on this proud, scornful woman.
Oh, I wish it were possible.
But let a woman know you're once her slave. Give her once testimony that you love her. She'll always be thy torment, jilt, design, and practice ends upon thy honest nature, so strong is their antipathy to truth.
But let a fool...
Oh, give them but a fool. A senseless, noisy, gay, bold, bristling blockhead. A rascal with a feather and cravat string. No brains in his head. A vain, pert, empty rogue that can prim, dance, lisp, or lie very much, they're lost forever. They'll give all they have to fools, or for them.
But my friend, this granted. Grant Portia this and more. As she was the wife of thy dear brother and my valued friend, the injury she brings upon thy honour must not be slighted. And that is why I join you in challenging Bogart and his friend to a duel.
They delay their time. The day grows late. Let's walk down by yon wall. Maybe they have missed the place.
Oh, Lucrezia, it was the pangs of jealousy, cursed jealousy, that brought me thither.
Where lodged you then last night, Sylvia?
There, in the house of my cousin Porcius. I met her late last night, just as I alighted, harassed with my journey and the thought of my husband, Courtine. Had she not took pity of me, heaven knows how my perplexities would have disposed me. Sleep's a guest that stays but a little with me. Oh, I thought a walk in the park would refresh me. Why sighest thou, Lucrezia?
I'm thinking why my cousin Portia should choose this well-guarded residence.
It is a secret for a lover.
I'll take care it shall not be long a secret.
Bogart courts her, a friend and lewd companion of my false husband's.
Oh, I know him too well.
Why, dost thou love him?
So much that I can neither eat, drink, nor sleep in peace. I met him yesterday. I was masked, but
by heavens, I pity thee. Oh, have a care of marriage, Lucrezia. Marriage, 'twill be thy bane and ruin thee forever. Marriage spoils faces. How do I look with marriage?
I see no change in you, Sylvia.
No change? I've not slept 6 nights in peace since the cursed day I wedded.
Oh, well, then a husband spoil one's sleep so sadly.
A husband's, Lucrezia, like the wedding clothes, worn gay a week, and then he throws them off. And with them, too, the lover. Then his days grow gay abroad, and his nights dull at home. He lies whole months by thy poor longing side, heavy and useless, comes faint and loath to bed, turns him about, grunts, snores, and that's a husband.
Is Courtine such a one?
Oh, 'tis pain to tell thee the life I lead with him. But let him loose among my maids. He loves a nasty, foul-fed, fulsome drab, and scorns the tender joys my arms invite him to. To be despised makes me curse the chance that made me woman. Would I'd been any creature else? Ah! Huh? See, yonder he comes, my husband, Courtine.
Thy mask,
dear Lucrezia.
Farewell. I'll away.
Madam! What? Fly the ground? Ah, here's another pretty masked beauty.
Who are you, sir?
A wandering knight that have forsaken my castle in the country and am come up to town for preferment.
And one would think so proper a lusty, well-made fellow as you are should not be long out of employment.
Dost thou know me, my dearest?
No.
Then I'm sure thou canst have nothing against me. Let's roll together on the grass.
Oh, Lord, sir. If I should let you make advantage of my weakness now, you'd be false afterwards, forsake me and break my heart. Have you no other mistress already?
Shall I swear?
But haven't you, truly?
No. If I have, may that blue mountain over our heads there fall down and crush me like a pelted toad.
To show you, then, that I deserve your faith.
What wilt thou show me?
A face which I am not ashamed of, though you'll perhaps be scandalized when you see it.
The devil take me if I am.
What think you, then, sir? I take off my mask.
My own wife!
Yes, thy unhappy wife, thou false, deceitful, perjured, shameless wretch. Have I deserved this from thee?
Pox, confound her! A book. I have a book to read, madam.
Is this the recompense of all my love? Did I bestow my fortune on thy wants, humble myself to be thy dove-like wife, and is this all I'm worth?
I'm reading.
Wealth is a great provocative to amorous heat. Hudibras, part the second, canto the first.
Patience direct me. Have I been blessed with children by thee to be left with scorn, cast off, neglected, and abandoned vilely? Speak! What?
That's I, child. It's I, my dear.
Death! Death and torments. Cut my wretched throat. Don't treat me thus. By heaven, I'll bear it no longer.
No more.
I have done, sir.
What do you do in London?
Is it a fault to follow what I'm fond of?
Can't I enjoy my pleasure, take my freedoms? But you must come and spoil the dish with your insipid, whining, senseless jealousy.
Prithee, forgive me.
Where did you lodge last night?
Here, with a relation. Maybe you know her. Her name is Portia.
Death! Bogart's widow! What? At this house?
This very house. Let us walk in. Won't you go with me, Courtine?
No.
Prithee, do, love. Don't be thus cruel to me.
Then promise one thing.
I'll grant thee anything.
Then promise me that during your abode in this sweet town, which I love dearly, you'll let me ramble, steer what course I will, keep what late hours, and as I please employ them,
nay,
that you'll still be an humble civil doxy and pry into no secret to disturb me.
Well, 'tis granted.
Oh, then I'll be dutiful.
Enter you first.
No.
Oh, you promised.
Well, since I am trapped thus, like a poor beast, I must go to the pound.
What? Portia is here, Lucretia. Here, in this house.
Here, in this very house. My cousin Sylvia, Courtine's wife, coming to town, lodged with her last night.
No more. Now I can guess why Bogard did not meet us. Do thou go, Grazia, and muster what friends 'tis possible. We'll storm this fortress, enchanted lady, though a giant guard it.
How do you intend to deal with us?
Much better than your language has deserved. Huh? We'll untie you both.
Sirs, for this noble usage, had I a sword or pistol about me, I would reward you most amply.
Now, the blindfold. So we'll leave you.
A plague of your civility!
Where the devil are we?
Where are we? Why, we're in a palace, man. Prithee, look about thee a little.
By heaven, here's a paradise. Rich furnishings, carpets, lights. Hark, daredevil. Music, too.
I'll be hanged if tis not a bawdy dancing school. Huh? Some better whores than ordinary have been pitched upon our two proper persons for the business. We're like to have a swinging time, Aunt Bogart.
The plague of your cowardice. You were whining and praying just now.
I praying? Prithee, be quiet, man. I never prayed in my life, nor ever will pray.
Oh,
praying. That's a merry jest.
If it had poltroon, you said 24 paternosters within this half hour.
I did not pray. Look, Bogart, what comes yonder? Sart. Two devils in petticoats, and they're blacks.
Hey, day, lady, blackamoors. Nay, then we are certainly enchanted. What, are you two maids of honor to the Queen of Pomonki, and is this one of her palaces? Not a word.
How I long now to be familiar with one of these sooty-faced harlots. I would beget a chopping black son of a whore upon her in defiance to the Prince of Darkness.
But another too. A dwarf of the same black complexion. This must be Her Majesty's page.
A pimp, I'll warrant him. He's so very little, pert and dapper. The rogue looks as if he could insinuate himself through a keyhole.
Welcome! Thou best beloved man of the fair world!
Well, sir, and what's the service you have in order to command me?
My orders are to lead you to repose on a rich bed, prepared for rest and love.
I said it was a pimp. What a smooth-tongued little rascal it is.
A very pretty sort of an amusement, this. But prithee, young prince, why to bed? 'Tis but now day, and the sun new risen.
Such are the orders of the power I serve. For you are come a long, unmeasurable journey, drawn by winged horses through the untracked air,
Pox upon thee for a little black-lying, well-instructed rascal. But since it is the custom of the place, and my last night's fatigue requires it, I'll accept of the offer. and dispense with an hour or two of sleep to fit me for better exercise when I awake again. Come, daredevil, let's undress.
Drawn by winged horses through the air, said he. If this should be true now, what would become of us? Methought, indeed, the coach hewed it away a little faster than ordinary. The women are dancing for us.
A very notable entertainment, truly. Your little black ladyships trip it most featly.
What?
Must you take charge of me now? Don't take me into the bedroom, huh? Daredevil, farewell to thee.
I'm in hopes of a better, I'd invite thee for a bedfellow.
Bedfellow? Would I wear a bed with any bedfellow that I was sure had but flesh and bones about him?
Come, sir. You are my charge.
I hope your little imship will be civil to me. Pray, sir, what place is this?
A crystal castle, built by enchantment in a land unknown to any but the fair one that commands it. The spirits of the air keep guard about it, and all obey her charms.
Oh, Lord. And what religion is the lady of?
That is a secret will you know more about. Hereafter.
Hereafter, oh Lord. Lead on, then. If this were known in the real world from whence I've just come, how would the fate in Ballard be lamented of Daredevil the atheist that's enchanted?
Bogart with Portia. These are now your men of honour. Yet I never knew a blustering, roaring, swashing spark that at bottom was good for anything.
Your so-called braves always put on a show of more courage than ordinary.
But to lie concealed in private in the house with Portia.
Damn Portia. Portia's a prostitute.
No!
Has given herself already to his arms.
I'll warrant you she has an excuse for that too, if it be so. Woman is but a weak vessel.
Ah, pox upon a weak vessel, damn her. Would my sword were at her throat. But will our friends be ready?
Most punctually. It was an odd old fellow which we met with. Was he truly Bogart's father?
Well, nobody can swear that, for his mother was a woman.
I hope he'll be as good as his word with us.
There will not be amiss if it proves so.
I tell you, sir, he comes not to. At home. You lie, Fobin, you dog, you lie. Do not I know that my son sat up all night with a consort of whoremasters and harlots? And have you the impudence to tell me he's not at home?
Yes, sir.
Do not I know, villain, that after a debauch my son will outsnore a Fleet Street constable and all his watch for 6 hours? And dare you tell me my son is not at home? You caterpillar!
Upon the word of a true valet de chambre, sir.
Oh, no more to be said. But, sir, do you take notice and tell my son he shall pay for this. Pay for it, you hear, you mongrel?
Yes,
pop
sir.
Me off with 10 stinking guineas when I had lost 100.
That was
fiends
all
and
of...
furies shall not bear it. Now get thee gone and tell him this.
I will. Sir?
Ah, Master Fiore. Master Graziana. Good morrow, my little thunderbolts. What say you, my tiny brace of blunderbusses? Can I be serviceable? Shall we be about the business while it is practicable?
Have you considered of it thoroughly, sir?
Trouble I hid no further. I'll do it, my darling.
Have you considered, sir, that Portia is your son's mistress?
So much the better still. I'll swinge her the harder for alienating his affections from his natural father.
But suppose you should meet him. And he springed her defense.
Better and better. I would swinge him, too, with much fatherly discipline, and teach him the duty which a son with a great deal of money owes an honest old daddy that has none.
Very piously resolved. But, sir, this will be no trifling matter, no boy's play.
Boy's play, sir? I can't fight, sir, though I am an old fellow. Boy's play. I don't understand your boy's play.
I would not have you take my plainness ill, sir.
Then to rectify all mistakes, let us have breakfast. I hate to be run through the guts with nothing in them to keep the wind out.
Oh, very well proposed.
Now, if my son be run through the midriff in this business, I am the next heir at law, and the £2,000 a year is me own. Mm. Come along, my little spitfires. Nous allons, brave fripons, sans savoir où nous allons. March along then bravely and boldly. Well, sing. Nous allons, brave fripons, sans savoir où nous allons.
Unconscionable importunity of an unsavory, phlegmatic, cold, insipid wife. By this good day, she has kissed me till I'm downright sick. I've had so much of her that I shall have no stomach for sex this fortnight. I must leave her.
My dearest, my dearest, don't thus leave me. By this kind kiss, I beg you.
Oh, the devil.
Oh, look kindly on me. Speak to me.
Plague intolerable.
Indeed, my dear, I love you with such fondness. Pray, speak.
I cannot.
Why? Aren't you well?
Oh, there's a sudden faintness comes o'er my spirit. I'm very sick. Leave me if thou lovest me. Stand off and give me air. I die else.
Well, kiss me then to life again.
Stand up, I say. I'll not be stifled. Murder! Help! Murder! Help!
Ill-natured tyrant, come near me, husband.
Come not near me, wife. How I am tortured.
You must be kind indeed, my dear. You must.
Indeed, my dear. By your good leave, I shall not. Damnation.
You long to be rid of me again.
That I do most mightily.
What's the matter, dearest?
I am sick again of the sudden. Give me the chair there. My heart beats and my head swims.
Alas, I fear you're very sick indeed. If my poor lover should die, what will become of me?
Plague on your whining.
Shall I fetch thee some cordial, my dearest love, my joy? Speak to me, shall I?
If thou wilt, my jewel.
Jewel, what a plague is this. Is she gone? Now for a convenient side door.
Sir! Sir, word with you.
With me? Thy business, tiny sir.
A lady, sir, that followed you hither this morning.
A lady?
Yes, sir, a lady, sir. She's now below, sir, and desires to see you.
Is she young? Handsome?
I can't tell that, sir, but she's rare and fine.
Are her clothes rich?
All gold and silver with a deep point thingam-thangam over her shoulders. And then she smells so sweet.
Tell her I'm impatient. Tell her I'll wait on her within a moment. Tell her...
But, sir, she's...
Be gone! Out the side door, down the back stairs, or else you'll be caught.
Oh, it's my blessing. Here, take this drink. It's all that's left.
Oh, I am sorry for it. It's very comforting.
What ails my life?
I have a horrid tremor upon my heart. 'Tis the old palpitation I used to be troubled with. If I were but...
Where, love?
But in a condition to go out. There is an able fellow of my acquaintance that always used to relieve me in this extremity.
Where does he live? I'll take a coach myself and go to him.
The devil take me if I know. It is a vast way off. Night kills me again.
I shall not think it so when it is my duty.
That's but too kind, my sweetest. If I had but one bottle of his elixir.
How is it called?
Specimen vitae.
Specimen vitae?
Aye, specimen vitae. 'Tis a damned hard name, but 'tis very good.
Where is he lives, then? Prithee, let me go thither.
Oh, 'tis a horrid way off. Besides, it would trouble me now in this condition to be so long without thee.
Oh, prithee, let me go.
Why, 'tis as far as Grub Street, child, Grub Street.
I'll be back again instantly.
I had rather, indeed, thou shouldest go thyself than send a messenger, because the business will be done more carefully.
How's the direction, then?
In Grub Street, child. Grub Street. At the sign of the Sun and Phoenix, I think it is. There lives a chemist. Ask for him, and in my name desire a bottle of specimen vitae.
Specimen vitae?
Aye, specimen vitae. I'll try, in the meantime, to walk about the room.
Oh, heavens bless my dearest dearie.
Thank you, my only joy.
You will be careful of yourself, child.
As careful as I can, child.
God be with ye, Courtney.
God be with you, my Sylvie.
Sir!
What is it?
My lady is just entering the back stairs.
Now? Here?
Courtney!
You back.
I forgot my wages. Pray, Courtney, kiss me before I go.
Oh, my love, I have made hard shift to crawl to this door. But I will.
God be with you, my dearest love.
God be with you, my joy.
Nay, give me another. Bewee, Courtney.
Bewee, Sylvie.
Bye.
Bye.
Gone at last. The devil take me if thou interruptest me any more. I'll lock the door.
Was that your lady, sir?
Yes. But I hope you'll not think the worse of me, pretty one, for keeping a wife company now and then, for want of a better.
Oh, can you be so kind, sir, not to forget me? Do you remember me still, Captain?
Remember thee, child? Even though you are masked, is it possible for thy face to be ever blotted out of my memory?
The devil eat me if ever I saw it before, to the best of my knowledge.
Where is your lady gone, sir?
To Grub Street, Jewel, for some specimen vitae.
Specimen vitae, sir? Oh, dear, what's that?
Come quietly into the next room, and I will show thee what specimen vitae is.
You may perhaps think strange of this freedom I take with you, sir.
Not in the least, child. It shows thy generosity.
Oh, but, sir, presuming on your favours to me, I am come to beg your advice in a matter of law, which I am at present involved in. And if you please...
To retire a little in private? Oh, thou couldst not have picked out such another man for thy purpose. I am maybe the best lawyer in the world for... bedroom practice.
Oh, really, you are so good natured. I'll away to the bedroom.
I'll after you, madam.
Oh, Grub Street and specimen vitae. Ah, he that has the palpitation of the heart and says an armful of this won't cure him, let him die upon a dunghill. This is the rarest adventure.
Hey-ho, hey-ho. Pull on my breeches, boy. Now my boots.
For your pleasure.
What is the clock, boy?
Sir, in your world, by computation, I guess it may be afternoon.
A very pretty little rascal, this, and a very extraordinary way I'm treated here. I have been abed, 'tis true, but the devil a wink of sound rest came near my senses all the while. But broken slumbers, dreams, starts, and sprawling from one side to the other, in hopes the fair unknown that keeps this house might have been so good-natured to have given a stranger a visit. What music again? This is a merry region, I'll say that for it, wherever it be.
Welcome, mortal, to this place, where smiling fate did send thee. Snatch thy happy minutes as they pass, who knows how few attend thee. Floods of joy about thee roll, and flow in endless measure. Deep thy wishes deep and fill thy soul with draughts of every pleasure. Ah. For since life's a slippery guest whose flight can't be prevented, treated whilst it stays here with the best, and then to go contented.
Circle him with charms, and raise in his heart such alarms as Cupid ne'er wrought by the power of his dart. Fill all his veins with a tender desire, and then show a beauty to set him afire, till kind panting breasts to his wound she apply. Then on those white pillows of love, let him die.
Faith, and with all my heart, I long to taste my mortality most mightily. The black ladies have brought in a banquet, too. Pretty innocent contrivance. Well, here's no fear of starving. That's one comfort. Now, my dears, would you but be as good as your word and show me the beauty you have so prepared me for? Come back! Gone. Oh, how I long to see this beauty who... Oh, but my widow, my dear, generous, noble-hearted widow, Portia, she that loves liberty as I do, she that defies matrimony as I do, shall I turn recreant and be false to her? Ah, daredevil, daredevil, how I want thee to help me out in this case of conscience a little.
Bogard, where art thou?
Ah, dear damnation, I was just now heartily wishing for thee.
Such news, such tidings, such a discovery.
What's the matter, man?
Only 56 virgins apiece for us, that's all. Pretty little blushing opening butt. You rogue that never had so much as a blast of masculine breath upon them yet. What's here? Banquet ready? Oh, nay, then I'm satisfied. Never were heroes so enchanted as we are.
But where are the virgins, daredevil, the virgins?
There's only one of them, child, only one. But such a one, my soul.
Is there but one, then?
That's no matter, man. I'll be contented till thou hast done with her. I hate a new conveniency that has never been practised upon. It's like a new shoe that was never worn. Rings and hurts one's...
foot, scurvily. I love my ease.
But is she very lovely?
Such a swinger, she'll make thy heart bound like a tennis ball at the sight of her.
Oh, stand off, I say. She's mine this minute. But then again, my widow. Another woman, unmasked too. When the devil shall I see a woman with her own natural face again? Madam.
Be pleased, sir, to repose yourself a little. There is a small account, sir, to be adjusted betwixt you and I. Where are my servants? Attend me.
With drawn swords, what the devil could be the meaning of this now? I'm not to be murdered, I hope, after all this ceremony and preparation.
Murdered in the devil's name. Here is a great fear of being murdered, truly.
Come, sir, sit down, sir.
Madam, I'll obey you.
I'll doubt not, sir, but since you're coming hither, you are much surprised and wonder at your treatment.
Oh, madam, it has been so very highly generous.
That you are prepared with compliments to pay for it. But, sir, such coins adulterate and base. I must have honest dealing from your heart.
Swear to her a little, man. Pour out a bushel of oaths upon her instantly. Swear if there will do any good upon her.
I know my rival.
It is so. Just now, just as I thought, my poor widow will run a damnable hazard of losing this sweet person of mine if I do not take abundance of care in the business. Here are rogues on each hand, with blunderbusses, too. I shall be ravished.
She, by her arts, I know, is possessed already of your heart. But know, too, I'm a woman. Loath refusal, scornful refusal.
Swear to her, Bogard, I tell thee.
Madam, I'm most miserable, but...
Your widow, Portia, sir, your widow.
Madam, I must confess...
Well?
That I love her and will forever.
Death! Do you confess it too? See you not here yourself within my power, and dare you still confess you love that creature? You are here, my prisoner, and by what is past, you ought to think me capable of more.
If you would but swear a little, all this might be rectified. Madam, to my own knowledge...
Fool, stand off! I know you are the loveliest creature my eyes e'er gazed on, but...
But what?
But I'm sure you'd yourself scorn, nor think me worth your heart. Could I be faithless? Could I be inconstant? Pity me, fair one. Yet methinks this hand...
Should send a dagger to thy ungrateful heart. Still I am scorned, then.
Would you kill me barbarously? Sure, those sweet eyes could not see such a sight.
No, take your life, and with it this satisfaction. Portia scorns you as much as you do me. Until thou suest upon thy humble knees to me for pity, Portia shall despise thee. Servants, depart!
Madam, I swear, no by all those beauties...
Damn! Nathan, devils! How came I hither?
Bogart! Cortina, are you in this house?
Yes, in the room at the end of the corridor.
Midwife, run for some poor woman!
A midwife?
Yes, friend, a midwife. I'm sweetly managed. I thought I was in a private house here with a woman of good reputation, and she proves a damn trepanning strumpet. Just in the middle of all our talking together, she fetches a great shriek and roars out for a midwife. The drab's full gone with bastard and swears I am the father of it and rushes out.
But children bring a great honour with them, Courtine. They may grow up to be a comfort to thee in thy old age, man.
I love to see families increase with all my heart.
Let me be hanged and quartered, gentlemen, if ever I set eyes on the harlot in my life before. My sweet wife, a pox on her, brought me to this house.
Why, is thy wife in London?
Yes. Hell confound her. She's hunted me full cry up to town, seized upon me this morning, and brought me hither where it seems we slept last night.
Well, is she in the house?
No. I was forced to counterfeit sickness to get rid of her so that this confounded woman with her guts full of bastard and I might console for half an hour.
This comes of your whoring, Courtney. Now what's here? Two wenches with a baby child.
Oh, sir, heavens bless you. You are the happiest man. Here is your baby, as like you as if you'd bore it yourself. What a pretty little and just its father's eyes for all the world. Never be the body to have a child by such a handsome gentleman.
Ye whores, ye drabs, you fulsome stinking whores. Clusters of poxes on ye and no hospitals pity ye. Confound ye, leave me.
Oh, fire, Pont Courtine, fire, for shame. Give something to the nurses, man.
Man.
That's but civil.
A bastard! Death, a bastard, and under my nose too. Where's that vile, hateful monster, my husband?
Have patience, lady.
False, loathsome traitor!
Now my joy is completed.
Take comfort and let me go!
Hold her fast, friend, if thou lovest me!
Thou devil! Thou treacherous, faithless, perjured wretch! Thou, husband! Look in my face!
Well?
Did ever I deserve this? Degenerate brute!
Thou only in falsehood, man. Oh. Thou rampant goat abroad. Oh. And drone at home. Oh. Gourteen.
Like a dog with a bottle fast tied to his tail. Like vermin in a trap or thief in a jail. And though he'd be rid on't rather than his life, yet he lugs it and hugs it as a man does his wife. Oh.
Death, fiends and torments. I could dig those eyes out. I'll bear it no longer. Bedlam. Oh. Bedlam. Oh. Bedlam. Oh. No more! No more, no more, no more. Be warned by me, ye virgins that are blessed. With your first native freedom, let no oaths of perjured mankind woo you to your ruin. But when a creeping, fawning, weeping crocodile moans at your feet, remember then my fall. Remember then my fall. No more, no more, no more.
With all my heart, thou dear, dear wife and play.
A very pitiful case, this. Well, daredevil, go look below and see what's amiss now.
At once, at once.
Oh, madam, madam, what will become of us?
Come, my stumpy's back.
Become of us, woman. Prithee, what's the matter? Are we in any danger?
It's only your brother-in-law, madam, and his friend Gratian with a dozen armed men, ma'am. That's all the matter, madam.
My brother-in-law, Theodoret.
The same, my lady, if your name be Portia.
Portia? My sweet enchantress, unmasked as Portia?
It is but too true, sir. My unhappy name is Portia.
Portia, my widow, my dear, lovely widow. What an ill-natured trick it was to conceal myself.
I'll explain it all later. Though, Bogard, you never saw my face before. If now you think it worth your least regard, protect me. For I dread my brother-in-law's fury even worse than matrimony. Here, sir, I yield myself up. Yours forever.
And by this happy hour, I'll keep thee mine, then. Secure thyself in this private closet.
Peace to thy heart, poor widow. Give us but arms.
These I have provided for you. I found our swords in a corner where I was proposing familiarities to the lady governess of the household just as the blusterers entered.
Are they in the house?
Yes, and have bound the servants.
Empty your arms, Bogart. The enemy's upon us.
We've had a succession of very pretty adventures here. First we're enchanted, then we are fiddled to sleep, then we are fiddled up again, then here's a discovery of a very fair lady and a bouncing brown bastard, and when we might have thought all fortune's tricks had been over, we're in a very fair way at last of having our throats cut. I shall creep away and secure my life. That shall be my care.
Stay, dog, and fight, or by heaven, I'll rip your heart out.
Well, then, if I must fight, I must.
Ah.
That has saved many a coward's credit before now.
Break open the door, man!
Stand right, 14.
Gentlemen, what means this violence here?
I am Theodoret, Portia's brother-in-law.
And I am Gratian, a friend and Portia's suitor.
And we come, sir, to demand that lady.
Now, my father.
Father me no fathers. I am none of thy father, fellow, but I am these gentlemen's friend here. Now, atheist, will I murder thee?
Oh, Lord.
Jack, come hither, Jack. Word with you, Jack. Give me 100 pieces now, and I'll be at thy side, Jack. Oh, beat off these impudent fellows. Gentlemen, I cannot put on to you that this is my... My son.
Sir, were you dead to your shirt, I would not part with a single shilling, sir.
Yeah, though he were my son 10,000 times in such a cause as yours, I'll draw my sword against him.
You may remember, gentlemen, a challenge.
Which you forgot, sir. A challenge, Bogart?
I'll tell you more hereafter. To show you I have not forgot it, the lady you thus persecute is now under my protection.
What?
And with my sword, I'll keep her so.
If we don't... Me, my wife, get the better of me.
Come on, then,
for
sir.
For the lady.
For my honor.
And for my friend, sir.
Oh, brimstone beard, have at thee.
Look, Bogart, there are more of them.
Retreat!
They're gone! The cowards fly!
Oh, I am slain! A parson, dear sir, a parson. Some pious, good divine, if you have any charity. My Moor runs out.
I am nicked too, wounded.
Bogart and Cortina fled. Gratian, how fares my friend?
I'm wounded. Send for a surgeon quickly, for I bleed much.
Look to it, men!
A surgeon!
Here she is. I have got Portia for you.
Let me alone for ferreting a female's quarters out.
Oh, inhuman tyrant, help! Murder! Help!
None of your tricks! No cries, no shrieks for succor, thou woman! Thou young, itching, wanton devil, you disgrace the name and triumphing in infamy.
On what a tottering point his honor stands that trusts his treasure in such lavish hands.
Madame Lucrezia, why do you wish to dress thus in man's attire?
Because I wish to shake the lazy, stretching, wishing folly of loving Bogard out of my blood. I have 100 and 100 times wished myself a man. And now, in outward appearance, I am a very fellow. Masculine qualities grow upon me strangely. I will tear out this pain of love I feel, grow hard, brutal, and cauterize this loving wound of mine. Cloris?
Madam?
Give me my sword.
Here, madam. Bless us, what will your ladyship do with yourself in this equipage?
Ladyship, hussy? Take notice. From this important moment, I am no more your mistress, but that imperial creature, your master.
And must your honour have a mistress too?
Yes, hussy. And you shall be serviceable to me in the matter. I'll have a doxy this very night.
Oh.
I've singled her out already. Courtine's wife, Sylvia. That jealous, raging, insatiable helpmate of the captain's. She's in love with me already.
Madam.
I passed her in the hall just now. She was coming into the house to pay a visit to the widow Portia, who, by the way, is as wicked as myself, and my great counsellor in this design to reunite Sylvia and Courtine. And Sylvia, taking me for a stranger, leered at me as if at that very minute she took aim at my heart and seized me for her quarry.
But, madam, she knows you.
Thou art a fool. I was disguised in my man's attire.
Oh.
So I'll practice on her frailty. If I can't find love as a woman, I'll find it as a man. And if I find no love, I'll be revenged on Bogard, Portia, and all the damned crew. Hast seen Portia?
Well, the servants say she has been taken by her raging brother-in-law, Theodoret.
Huh?
But no matter. It has happened before, and she has talked her way back to security. Hist, madam. Look, Sylvia has come back.
Hush, then. I'll step aside.
Sweetheart, pray show me the way to the gardens. I'm informed Portia's gone out.
Madam, this gentleman is come to see her ladyship and waits till her return.
Indeed, sir.
Yes, indeed, madam.
A very handsome youth. Are you a relation to this family, sir?
Madam, the greatest advantage I hope from the family is, henceforth, to have oftener the honour of kissing your fair hands here. It is an opportunity I should make no ungentlemanly use of.
Opportunity, sir?
Yes, opportunity, madam.
Do you know me, sir?
Know you? By this good hour, there has not been a day or night since I first saw you that I have thought or dreamed of anything else.
Oh.
Are not you the wife of a certain swaggering squire about this town, who calls himself Captain Courtine?
Yes, sir. Such a friend in a corner I have, and what have you to say to him, sir? I swear, a very handsome youth still.
What, madam? What I have to say to you, rather than lose you, I would say to your husband. Which is that I like you, love you, languish for you, and would with all my heart, blood, spirit, and flesh I could only...
I swear, sir, I am mightily obliged to you, and so is Mr. Courtine.
Mr. Courtine? Take notice, madam, I take that expression kindly, for if my intelligence be true, he lives with you only like Mr. Courtine.
Oh, God, he's very handsome.
Shall we walk in these gardens anon? For I have the privilege of a key that opens into the fields.
Oh.
The moon shines.
Between 10 and 11, does the moon shine?
As bright as anything but yourself.
11's a late hour.
Not too late.
Indeed.
Take this kiss and word for it.
Fie, how you use me.
Hush, no more. Company's coming. 11, then?
10, if you are kind enough.
Well said, my chaste sex. We'll meet at 10.
Oh, cousin Sylvia, art thou come? Oh. Thou art the welcomest creature on the earth. I have managed to escape from my brother-in-law Theodoret and my lover Gratian by threatening I would petition the king and have them gibbeted for abduction.
My lady.
Oh, sir, your servant.
I am here, madam, in order to your commands.
Her commands?
Oh, Sylvia, he's the prettiest, best-natured youth. He is related to us a great way off, and by that means has the privilege of visiting without offence to my jealous brother-in-law and tyrannical guardian.
Have you contrived that business?
Madam, it is done.
Business? What business, Portia?
I'll tell thee. Seeing myself here confined to the rules and limits of a very prison, I am resolved to put as good a face upon the matter as it will bear, and make my misfortune as easy as I can. Wherefore, for a little present diversion, I have contrived a letter in an unknown name by this young man here, and conveyed it to thy lewd husband, Courtine, with another of my own to Bogard, and sent for thee, my dear, to share in the pleasure of the consequence.
But what will be this consequence, cousin?
20 to 1, but it makes some new alarm and divertisement to my jailers, who are so very capricious that they would fancy a rat behind the hangings for a concealed lover. It may, too, by chance, produce me some lucky opportunity once more to make my escape out of their merciless power. Nay, they are already half disposed to run away themselves, for I have got the surgeon, who has care of the swearing atheistical fellow who was hurt in the scuffle, to swear he fears his wounds may be mortal. Upon which my lover Gratian sighs and turns up his eyes like a Puritan at prayers. My brother Theodoret puffs, swells, grinds his teeth, and stamps as if he would brain himself against the next wall, while poor Bogard's father has, with pure fear, lost a red nose that has been his fast friend for these 40 years, and every time he sees his face in a glass, fancies every wrinkle there has the shape of a gibbet.
Oh, my dear unhappy lady, what will become of us? The most unhappy accident! I have lost it!
Lost it? Lost what, Phyllis?
Oh, madam, the note! Madam, the note!
How's this?
What? The note I sent to Bogard?
Well, I put it fast here between these two poor naked breasts here, so I did. When, just as I was going forth, who should meet me but the old wicked, ranting, roaring gentleman Bogard's father that hides near here for fear of hanging. Would he have been well hanged a 12 months since? And there he fell a-tousing and mousing and a-meddling with me, and I was never so afraid of being ravished in my life. So, in the struggle, I guess the note was lost. Though in my heart, I wish I had been ravished 6 times over rather than such a misfortune had happened.
Aye.
Nevertheless, I have done your business for you, so I have.
Business? What business? Thou hast undone and ruined me forever.
Well, I have met with the Captain Bogard and told him the whole matter, as well as if he had read it in the letter himself.
What then did he say? Fool, beast and blockhead, tell me.
Oh, why, he said he'd die 1,000 and 1,000 times for you, were it possible. So he did. And that he will not,
eat, drink or sleep.
Yeah, till he has set you at liberty, so he won't. And that he'll be in the garden before 10.
10?
10? What's in this case to be done, madam?
Oh, dearest Sylvia, should Theodoret and Gratian get any notice of this note and find a man here again, notwithstanding their fear, who knows what ill usage it may aggravate?
Aye.
To thy chamber, dear Lucrezia, ere the storm comes upon us, and well disguised.
At once, now, Phyllis.
Sweet Sylvia, you'll remember.
Oh, it is not possible to forget you.
Oh, I hear someone coming. The back door, quickly, quickly.
Porcia!
Theodoret!
Now have I double barred up all the doors and windows, and will soon load all the arms in the house for execution.
What do you mean?
To cut off your intelligence, lady, and make thee, ere I have done, to curse thy father and mother that let thee learn to write. Seest thou this note, thou irreclaimable profligate wretch? Send you the draggle-tailed minister Phyllis hunting upon the scent of a brawny-backed captain? By heavens, the thought of it makes me loathe the house, and fancy it stinks of the foul sins thou hast imagined in it.
Thou barbarous, ill-mannered, worse-than beast, why am I abused thus? Why made a prisoner at your saucy will, fettered up and barred all liberty and converse?
For the same reason other two hot-blooded females are, because, if possible, I would not have a good breed spoiled.
What a load of dirt is thy thick skull crammed withal, if thy tongue were able to throw it out.
Filthy, filthy, fulsome, filthy! What? Be a dull common and follow the camp? How lovelily would your fair ladyship look mounted upon a baggage cart, presiding over the rest of the captain's dirty equipages?
If anything in the world would make me a camp follower, it would be I should never see you again, sir.
Oh, your ladyship has reason to defend the soldier's cause. You have married one, as I take it. Porcia, retire to your chamber.
I'll not stir, sir.
Nay, by heaven, but you shall, madam.
Nay, by heaven, but she shall not, sir.
That's well said.
If you must intrude, at least stay silent, sir. Portia, do not drive me to use violence.
How? Violence to a fair lady? Much not so well, either.
Hark you, sir, brother-in-law, do not touch me, or offer the least violence to compel me to a closer confinement. By this injured heart, I'll fire the house about your ass's ears. I'll sooner burn with you to be revenged than endure such insolence and torment any longer.
Very well.
Egad, a brave girl, a delicate wench. How my fingers itch to take her part now. I have a mind to spouse her quarrel and make friends with my poor Jackie again. Honest Jackie, 'tis the best-natured boy in the world, though I was such a beast to fall out with him.
Inhuman, cruel Theodoric, why do you afflict me thus?
For your soul's health, lady, and the welfare of your wasting reputation. Ah, pox are you whining? To your chamber, to your prayer book and repentance. Fasting and humiliation will be good for you. To your chamber.
To my grave first.
Nay, then, and I'll drag you there.
Stand off! Murder! Murder! Tramps! Rooms and palsies wither thy unmanly hands.
By heaven!
You dare not do it.
No, sir, you dare not do it. You dare
not. I won't pass.
What an ill-bred camel it is.
Nay, you shall not do it. You shall not, sir.
Et tu, brute.
Brute? Brute! Brute me no brute's friend. I am a man, fellow. Batoons and Bilbo's brute. I am a gentleman.
Your pardon, sir.
Don't pardon him.
Theodoric. Theodoric.
Poor Gratian. How is thy wound?
I have made hard shift to hobble hither. Yes. My wound's grown very troublesome. If ever we ought to do anything for our safety, let us do it now, or we are all lost.
I can fear nothing when my friend's so near me.
Now, Portia, rebel and force your freedom nobly.
Look you, gentlemen. I must confess I have a remorse of conscience, and am sensible I have been a rebel. Wherefore, if my liege son and heir has more men, and be once more up in arms, loyalty and natural affection, friends, will work. I must pronounce for Prince Jackie. What? And here I resolve to defend his territories and draw my sword.
I hope Jackie have interest enough to get your pardon for murder, sir.
What?
For the atheist daredevil, your antagonist, is dead, sir.
Dead?
Dead?
Yes. Dead, sir.
So much the better. Portia, let us run and cry out murder to the streets this moment.
I find I am but a short-lived sinner. Farewell forever, old hock, sherry, nutmeg and sugar. This is what comes of rebelling against one's natural-born children. Dead, you said, sir?
Or at least cannot survive half an hour.
Oh.
Therefore it is my opinion that we instantly quit this house.
Confusion, devils!
Nay, sir, stand fast. Dare but to open a door, sir. By heaven, that moment I'll alarm the town. You shall not think to escape, reeking with a poor man's blood shed in defense of me.
Lady, no fooling.
No, sir, no fooling. But now, sir, go to your chamber, sir, to your chamber.
Huh?
To your prayer book and repentance. Fasting and humiliation will be good for you. To your chamber, sir, as you tender your neck, sir.
Damnation, unhand me!
Think you so barbarously to leave me here in the house with a dead wretch and have the punishment of his horrid murder light on my innocent head?
What do you resolve to do, sir?
Do, sir? What can I resolve to do, sir? I have no means to escape, sir. For in the first place, I have no money. And a man that kills another without money in his pockets is in a very bad condition. In the next place, for a disguise, I have no clothes but these you see on my back. Look, you gentlemen, I have civilly killed a man for your service. If you will resolve fairly and squarely to hang like friends together, then so be it. If not, I mutiny. And if the plot is discovered, I shall betray you.
What? Here comes my servant. Well, Rosard, what's the news now?
Daredevil, heaven be thanked, is revived again, sir.
Oh.
And though the doctors say such another fit will certainly carry him off.
Oh.
The poor creature is very weak, but very penitent.
Oh, that's a very ill symptom. And my opinion is still, I am for hanging altogether.
Hark, you old rust.
Hmm?
You say you have no money. There's money for
you.
You want a change of raiment?
Yes.
There's a small wardrobe at the lower end of the gallery above.
Yes.
Equip yourself and provide for your security the best way you can.
The sooner the better.
Now, that's it.
There's no harm in murder when it brings a man money.
And now, my tyrant brother-in-law, I hope we stand on even terms.
No, lady, not yet. There's life returned, and therefore hopes still. Though at present, in some measure to comply with you and ease your apprehensions, within the limits of the house and gardens, you are now at your liberty, but no farther this night. But if I have any midnight alarms from your lover, there's entertainment ready for him. So, good night. It is almost 10. Come, Gratian. I'll see you to your repose, and then to my post of guard.
10. That was the hour Bogard mentioned, was it not, Phyllis?
It was, madam.
Be ready, then. All ye propitious powers that smile on faithful love. Oh, Sylvia.
You are transported, cousin.
With hopes of liberty. It is an English woman's natural right. Do not our father, brother, and kinsmen often, upon pretense of it, rebel against their sovereign? And why ought not we, by their example, to rebel as plausibly against them?
A most edifying doctrine.
The sign. Hark, the sign, Phyllis. 'Tis there again. Bogard is true, and I am happy. Oh, Sylvia, let us retire to your apartment, for mischief will soon be on foot, and action worthy love's great cause. Thy husband, too, may chance to have some share in the business, and as I have ordered matters, he may meet something in the adventure to stop his roving spirit and reconcile him to you, his duty and allegiance. Hark, there 'tis once more, a summons to the citadel to surrender. This shall hereafter be called Captain Bogard's Besieging of the Widow.
Hold! Stand fast! I have just now received news from over the garden wall that our scheme is known. There will be no easy entrance.
Ah, Captain, the time has been when under your command we should have had no need of a council of war for attacking such a fortification as this is.
Peace, Forbinia rogue. No marauding now. We'll burn, rob, demolish and murder another time together. This is a business must be done with decency.
This way!
Hark!
Some men coming, sir, from the back street.
Quick, let's hide. Do you, Forbin, with your group hover at a distance,
aye, sir.
While I, with the rest of us, post ourselves as advantageously as we can to watch the enemy's motions.
Sir!
This way the noise was. Be sure to keep safe the garden gate. Now, follow me. So are they quickly come and gone.
But here comes one in haste, sir.
Let's hide and watch. So, here I am, on a new adventure. And now for my instructions in this letter, let me see. Cortine, pray come disguised, that if the design should miscarry, your retreat may be easier. Your unknown blushing servant. Blushing servant, passingly modest, I'll warrant you. Pray come disguised, so I am disguised, for I look more like a cutthroat than anything else. Let me see. Upon this very spot, the last time I was here, did I meet my damned wife. Avert the omen, heaven, I beseech thee. And now, as I am considering, where could my friend Bogard be at present? With a whore, there's that question answered. Wherefore would but my unknown blushing servant appear? Would my little partridge but call, I'd fly and clap my wings about her.
Stand! Ooh. Who goes there?
A man, sir.
Seize him! A man, sir, we see you are, but what man are you, friend?
A gentleman, friend, and you'd best use me so. By heaven, Theodore, it, if I am but discovered.
Hands off, unloose him. You are not him we look for, sir.
I am glad of that with all my heart.
And therefore I ask your pardon. But if you are a gentleman, you will assist me.
Well,
sir. I have reason to believe my house is now beset with villains who have base designs upon the honor of my family. Wherefore, if you are a gentleman, you'll draw your sword to do justice in a good cause.
Sir, you shall command it.
Tis well.
Come, men! Now I see Bogard is upon a new exploit for the recovery of his widow. So, my blushing unknown, you may stay with your sheets this night.
My male disguise holds, and no one will recognize me as Lucretia. Bogard, I find, is about, and my would-be mistress, kind Sylvia, punctual to appointment in the garden. Now was I meant to bring Bogard to his Portia, and unknown to him, Cortine to his wife, but I will try to order the affair so as to slur Bogard upon Sylvia instead of myself, and her upon him instead of Portia. Bogard, who I once loved, I now hate. Mischief grows in me. And Bogard, Cortine, Portia, and Sylvia will all be served in their kind, and my conscience will be satisfied when I've made them as unhappy with their fate as I am with mine.
Hold, men. Waiting's over. I hear someone coming. Who are you, sir?
Bogard. You not know me.
This is not a time of night to answer questions.
Nay, then.
Nay, now, sir. I am the man you look for.
Captain Bogard. And these are my men. And you are him I wish to meet here.
You call upon your death?
I have learned to scorn death more since first you threatened it. Torsia's my claim, and here I'll win or lose her.
Then take thy due. Die like a midnight thief. Fall on, men!
Retreat! Retreat! They run! They run! The half-bred Hectors run!
False cards and dice and court pot brothel brawls were fitter for their management. But, by heaven, I miss our friend, the honorable stranger that so generously took our cause.
After them! What fly, base rascal!
No further, sir. I stand stuck still. There's my sword. Here's your humble servant.
Courtine!
The same Courtine!
And thou my enemy, too.
No, sir, your friend. I came hither disguised for a reason you shall know hereafter, but falling into the hands of the enemy was forced to take party against you for a moment, and now your men are fled.
Then farewell, my widow, forever.
Yet stay, Courtine. Lend me thy disguise. Quickly, quickly, quickly. My imagination's warm. A false beard, eye patch, jacket, all.
I am glad to be rid of it. So.
Now, take this whistle.
What?
And rally my scattered forces. They know the sign. They cannot be far off. I'll be hereabouts. And be near me if any new disaster should happen.
I fancy when we've got your widow, we shall never make up for what she's cost us.
No more. I hear company. Go. Vanish. Oh.
Now, here I stand as Courtine.
This way. I think I heard the whistle after them. Look. Is not that our friend? Oh, my dear generous sir that fought for us. I hope you come off well.
Very well, sir. I thank you. If I were but well off from this place. Mm. I fear the man I had to deal with all is fallen, for I left him staggering. Security were best for us all, sir. Mm.
Open the gate, I say there.
Open the gate!
Come, sir. My house shall be your sanctuary. Enter. Rest yourself in this arbor while I prepare an apartment for your privacy.
If I had died in your quarrel, sir, generosity like this had over-rewarded it.
Wait upon me here.
The stratagem succeeds and Troy is taken. Thus far, I am undiscovered. It is as dark as if the devil himself were abroad. Hist! Hist! Who comes here?
Sir? Sir, where are you?
Here, my friend. I wait you.
'Tis Bogard disguised. He won't recognize me as Lucretia.
Come, come, I know you. You are Bogard. You need not disturb yourself. My design is to do you service. Your Portia knows you are here and awaits you with her arms open.
Be thou my good or bad angel. At the charm of that name, I must follow thee, though thou lead me to perdition.
Softly, no noise. This way, give me your hand.
I've been lying on this bed for hours in pain. Where's the widow Portia? 'Tis her house, and she's left me. Poor daredevil, my wounds and my sins. Conscience, 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 how shall I quiet thee?
How do you do, sir? How do you find yourself?
Oh, very ill, heaven knows.
This cowardly chicken-hearted rascal will die and be damned at last.
Within a few hours of a grave and without great mercy of a hotter place. My eyes are dim and I cannot see you clearly in this light. Whoever you are, if you have any charity, procure me some conscientious, godly divine to unburden myself of my iniquity to...
Whining, repining rogue, ought I to be hanged now for such a varlet?
Shall I send you a divine, said you, sir?
Thank you. Thank you. To be a great favour and a comfort to me, sir.
I'll try what I can do for you, since I see your condition so dangerous.
Thank you. Thank you.
There is no safety for me in staying here. For looking out at the window as I was dressing myself, I observed 6 or 7 armed rogues with hangmanly faces sneaking and skulking about the garden. I will hasten and finish my disguise. No more Bogard's father, but a good man and a preacher.
How shall I soothe you, conscience? Let the good preacher be soon with me.
To what an insignificant purpose have I taken all these pains tonight? First, am I fetched into this house and told my blushing unknown is dying with despair, she will never see me? Then, am I put in a room for my rest, when my design was not to take my rest? Now, hearing a small voice in this room, I am much inclined to succor any distressed damsel this night. In the devil's name, it's dark in here, I can't see.
Oh, why? Is that the dear man now?
Hark! That must certainly be me, she means. Nay, I'm sure on't. Hile on a little farther.
Ooh.
Where art thou, thou poor creature?
I am come to comfort thee.
Oh, I wish you'd come a little sooner. I'm very ill.
Alas, kind soul. She's sick. Her voice is thick with passion and expectation. This must be my blushing unknown servant at the least.
Whereabouts are you? Give me your hand, Isolde.
Here it is, and my heart too. Thou hast them both. I'll swear she has a well-grown palm. By the rule of proportion, I'll warrant her a swinger. But no matter, 'tis in the dark.
Heart, you said her less, but her heart's breaking.
Breaking, dear soul. I'll give thee a recipe to keep it whole. This is the most romantic adventure. I'll undress.
Oh, the devil!
Ah. Oh, someone's coming. I'll hide me. Under the bed.
It's dark in here. But I thought the noise was this way. But no matter.
Now, could I but find the way to Porcia's bed, while my men are, according to their orders, binding the drowsy rogues of the family in their beds, I might... someone enters!
Sir.
Moustache, beard, and eye patch. This is a cutthroat, sure.
Who art thou, holy brother?
Eh? Minister of Peace to wounded consciences. I come here by appointment with an olive branch in my mouth to visit a mortal ark tossed and floated in floods of its own tears but its own frailties.
Are you really, sir, a man? Well, really the godly implement you appear to be for the scouring of foul consciences? Hold up your candle, sir. There's no one here but me.
Godly implement, I am here.
Daredevil.
How fareth our brother?
Alas, sir, very weak, upon the point of dissolution and tormented with the stings of a terrified conscience.
Lay then one hand upon thy heart.
I do so.
Let me the other, that in the pouring forth of thy sins thy right hand may not know what thy left hand doth.
A very material point, that, truly.
Thou hast lived in wickedness long.
Without the least repentance or a thought of it.
A very dangerous state, but for thy darling sins in primis. What?
Whoredom, adultery?
Oh, for adultery, I mean corrupting of other men's wives. Let me tell you, it is a crying sin, and a very loud one, too. But with whom was this wickedness committed last?
With my bosom friend's wife, and one that deserved much better of me.
But was she very young?
About 18. Not yet wedded a full year.
Well, up to whose dog, but handsome too. Was she very handsome?
Too beautiful to have had so little virtue.
Ooh, her name. Quickly, I say unto thee, let me know her name.
Well said, old fornication.
That I have promised shall forever be a secret, sir.
Then thou art damned. I do not absolve thee. Once more, I say, her name.
But I've sworn, sir. You'd not have me forsworn.
A mortal sin in itself. Swearing is another sin. Farewell. I'll have no more to do with thee. Thy sins are too deep or die, and Satan be upon thee. Damn rogue, not to tell me her name.
Oh, dear sir, come back again. Leave me not in this desperate, sad situation.
There's no mercy in this preacher. I'll try to find my precious widow.
Ooh, the stench under this bed. I'd best leave, too. This is no lover, but a sinner fit for the devil.
Mercy, I hear devil's voices again. I'll hide me under the sheets.
My male disguise holds, but where is my panting Sylvia? Ah, she comes.
Here, sweet, down the corridor a little.
Are you there, my ill-natured sir? Not in the garden at all, but here. Here, tortured with my longings for you. Come, turn into this dark room a moment. I'll search the corridor, and then the night's our own.
Don't be too long.
Now to find Bogard to create more trouble and mischief. I am drunk with it.
The devil is Porcia.
And here he comes.
Ah, young sir, have you seen Mistress Porcia?
Who are you, sir?
Bogard, and I'll slit your throat.
You're not he, sir.
I know who I am, sir. Ah, 'tis this damned disguise. The beard and moustache are false.
Ah.
Where's Porcia, or you die?
She is in this room, sir. Porcia's within.
Good.
No more words, but in, sir, if you will be happy.
No light. Sweet. I come, light though light. 'Twill be better in the dark. My sweet.
sweet mischief. Bogard and Sylvia together. I could hug myself. Revenge is the next best thing to love. That's my part done in this night's comedy. Let 'em now fight it out, and may the best man take the prize for what it's worth. I'll have no more of love, no more. I'll play the men and take what I can. No need to trouble my soul, 'tis the better role. Pat, here comes the husband. I'll watch.
Was that friend Bogard entered to his ease? Oh, happy man, is there no vessel where I may find content?
Come forth, thou strumpet!
The adored it! This threatens to alarm the house. Now I'll behave like a true friend and guard the door.
Well said, my civil dear and friendly cuckold. Guard thy own wife.
Very cruel, Theodore. Do not kill me. Here on my knees I beg.
How's this? Portia here and Portia in there with Bogart.
By heaven, thou diest this moment.
No!
By hell, though, but she shall not, sir.
Hold! What's now afoot?
Nay, how's this? My widow split in two, my Portia here, and Portia in there, too.
I have an unhand her. No! Nay, look well, sir, well, I'm Bogard.
You're not.
This damned disguise. Off with it.
Bogard!
My faithful soldier.
My victorious widow. No.
Call up my men. Raise the household.
Oh, they're all bound and taken, sir.
Never. I'll kill you yet.
Now I fancy by this other lady's concealing herself beside the bed, she may be a discovery worth making. Madam, you see here, my friend Bogard is inconstant, but truly nothing now could ever wean him from his widow there. Come, unmask and let me see thy face.
No.
Sylvia! My wife! My rigid, virtuous wife! My damn confounded, jealous wife! Bogard!
Yes, Ned?
With my own wife, sir.
Oh, nay, let us not call on it. I thought she was Portia in the dark. Oh, I have not wronged thee. Be satisfied.
Will you ever leave this foraging into other folks' quarters, Captain?
I am afraid, widow of mine, you had a finger in the plot, though.
Coutine, dearest.
Your humble servant, my dearest. I am only glad of this fair opportunity to get rid of you, my dearest. Henceforth, my dearest, I shall drink my drink, my dearest. I shall whore, my dearest. And I hope if ever we return into the country, you'll wink at a small fault now and then with a dairymaid or chambermaid, my dearest.
I always was a burden to your side, but you'll not be rid of me. We are locked together, love upon love, hate upon hate. Time will not ease it ever. We are together.
And this is marriage.
My door's locked up. My servants guarded, gagged, and bound. All I could find free abroad was this parson.
Peace to this house.
I am betrayed. I'll not live to bear it.
Nay, hold, sir. None of that. This design was not laid for a traitor.
How do you intend to deal with me?
Like a gentleman, sir, though you hardly deserve it of me. In short, this lady is in my charge now, and you in my power.
Oh.
And by her authority, this being her own house, I have made thus bold with it. And will take care to dispose her hereafter out of the reach of your merciless tyranny. Nay, if this reverend parson will do us the friendly office, though I've often renounced it, am ready to do it this moment. I talk of marriage. And shall I claim thee?
From this hour forever.
But what of the dying atheist, Daredevil?
Let's to him. Ask him for his preacher.
Daredevil,
what? Wilt thou lend me thy chaplain?
Eh?
Rise, sir. Won't you rise? If your old friend and I make a match on it, I hope you'll be so kind as to dance at the wedding.
Dance, madam, I'm dying.
That's false to my knowledge, for the surgeon told me last dressing it was so slight a wound, he had much ado to keep it from healing.
Gentlemen, ladies, friends, acquaintances, am not I dying?
No.
Am not I wounded?
No.
Is not there a hole in my belly that you may turn a coach and six in?
No. Prithee, leave raving and get up for shame, man. Thou an atheist, thou believe neither a god or a devil, and be afraid of a hurt no bigger than a pinhole. Croutine, lend us thy hand to raise up our old friend. Well, how is now?
Oh, faith and truth, I fancy not so bad as I thought I was. Methinks I begin to find myself pretty hearty. I can stand, I can walk too. And I've no pain at all.
But you repented, Daredevil.
No, I didst repent,
friend. I'm sorry to hear of it with all my heart. It will be a foul blot in thy escutcheon, but thou didst repent.
Repent? Prithee, be quiet, man. Why, dost thou think I did not know my old priest here was two deuces himself, the father of unbelievers? Your father, Jack?
The preacher? My father?
Oh, my Jackie, my little rogue, my dainty boy. I can hold no longer and I must kiss thee. And I will kiss thee.
You dog, you dear little dog.
Huzzah, the widow's our own.
My father as I live.
Oh, no, Jackie boy, Jackie, your rogue. Shall I not have a little spill out of this new wealth of yours, eh?
Faith, Captain, be mollified. The old gentleman, methinks, proposes very moderately.
Look you, sir.
though you have been a very ungracious father, upon condition that you'll promise to leave off gaming and stick to your whoring and drinking, I will treat with you.
Thou shalt find me hereafter very obedient. That is, provided I have my terms, which are these.
Come on, man.
3 bottles of sackjack per diem. 2 pounds of tobacco per month.
Reasonable.
A young wench of my own choosing to wait on nobody but me always. Whoa. Money in my pocket. An old pacing horse. And a rocking chair.
Agreed. Now, you see, Theodoret, I am beginning to settle my family. And all this comes of the dominion chance has over us. By chance, you took an old father off my hands and made a chaplain of him. By the same sort of chance, I have taken this lady off your hands and intend to make her another sort of domestic. Are you contented?
I cannot tell whether I am or no.
Then you are not so wise a man as I took you for.
You neither, for you seek to join the ranks of the married.
Have a care, Captain, for you have seen how bitter the battles are and how soured and blasted the marriage ranks become.
'Tis always the risk in love and war. The middle years beckon, and our adventures come to an end, Courtine.
But we must continue our livings and our lives, for no matter what, right or wrong, true or false, life is for our use. And mine, it must be confessed, is with Sylvia.
As you are in the confessing vein, I'll perform my last act as a false preacher, you rogues and roguesses. Roving Courtine, nagging Sylvia, perverse Lucretia, hot-tempered Theodoret, naughty Portia, poor Gratian, backsliding daredevil, and Jackie. Mad Jackie. I absolve you all. In the name of the Father,
and of the Son,
and of the Holy Ghost.
Amen! Amen! Amen!
In The Atheist by Thomas Otway, adapted for radio by Peter Bonds, Bogard was played by Dennis Quilly, Courtine, John Rowe, Sylvia, Sarah Bedell, Portia, Anna Massey, Bogard's father, Geoffrey Matthews, Daredevil, Peter Jones, Lucretia, Diana Bishop, Mrs. Furnish and Phyllis, Sonia Fraser, Theodoret, Geoffrey Collins, Gratian, Brian Marshall, Dwarf, Danny Schiller, Forbin, Henry Knowles, Cloris, Eve Karpf, Ruffian and Footman, John Livesey, Young Pimp and Footman, David Bradshaw, Ruffians and Theodoret's servants, Stephen Garlick and John Webb. The music for the production was specially composed by Christopher Wheeler. The Atheist was directed by Martin Jenkins.